Hello and welcome to this week's episode of The Capitalist Investor. As always, you have me, Diamond Hands D, and Luke Lloyd. How you doing, buddy?
Good, doing good. I miss Tony.
Yeah, Tony's out.
He sits right next to me during the podcast, and I feel lonely. Yep. I've been feeling lonely recently, Derek.
Oh, yeah?
Do you have any advice?
On feeling lonely?
Yeah, I feel lonely.
Are you going through the male loneliness thing?
Yeah, I think when you're in your late 20s, life hits you really hard. Like, it's just like you start to...
Are you in your late 20s?
Technically mid-20s. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that. But yeah, I don't know. Life gets real. Like, you see, I don't spend as much time with my parents anymore, right? Just because we're about 4 hours away from each other. You see them getting older. You know, you start seeing family members pass away a little bit. Like, it's a tough time. You know what I mean? Life hits you kind of really hard and... You know, life gets real. You guys start making some big decisions in life.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, you know, I think I like to think a little differently about that stuff. And I think that, you know, I think overthink some things about that stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't know.
What do they – don't they say, like, the male brain doesn't fully develop until 26?
Oh, gosh.
I think I heard that.
I would say that no one's brain fully ever develops. And you're always just constantly just feeding yourself and growing, you know, within information, whatever it be.
Yep, it is true. And it is it's a good time in life, right? When you're just trying to, you know, find your way through and figure out.
See, you for know, the most part, I would say, in. You know, one of the cool things is we talk to people of all different ages, right? And, you know, what's cool is you start to realize that we're all just trying to figure some stuff out, right? You never really fully figure anything out. You kind of just pick a lane and stick with it, right? So it's kind of interesting. And then you talk about, you know, I asked a question, I was out to, you know, with drinks with my girlfriend this past weekend. And I asked an older couple right next to us. I said, what would you tell yourself when you were younger? Like, what life advice would you give yourself? And I love that question because you start to really understand, like, you know, people's regrets, people's, you know, what they would have done better, what they would have worried about, not worried about. Like, it's kind of cool. I like that stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what are we worrying about and not worrying about today, D?
Well, you know, that's probably a pretty good segue because we got some, I think higher level themes today. You know, I think first of all, you know, we received a lot of really good feedback on the, you know, kind of financial planning shows. So thank you for that. But yeah, we mentioned it a little bit last week. But, you know, if you enjoy the show, you know, like I said last week, be a friend, tell a friend. You know, we're trying to get some additional listeners onto the program. So we had a lot of really good comments from that, you know, financial planning show. I think because, you know, we kind of kept it upbeat. So, you know, we're going to try to do that today. But, you know, along with kind of what Luke was saying, we're going to talk about like generational investment themes, you know, kind of the themes between different generations. And, you know, Luke and I are a little bit different ages, so we can get into that as well. Same thing with the American dream, you know, changing over time. I think that's a really good one. I know Luke had a conversation, you know, a few days ago about that as well. And then on the financial planning theme, I'll kind of update you on a new tax rule I just saw kind of come through. So we'll talk about that. And canceled, you know, we'll talk about the hurricane down in Florida. So, yeah, generational investment themes. What do you think?
Well, you know, we look back to kind of like the mid-90s, right? The biggest thing was, you know, the development of the internet, right? Completely revolutionized, changed spending habits, behaviors. And you saw that work out for a lot of tech names. And you saw the tech bubble burst, you know, in the early 2000s, right? So that was a huge investment theme we saw. We saw, you know, the development of the flip phones, right, with Apple, right, during the 2000s to, you know, 2010, right? They completely revolutionized, you know, how we communicate, how we use the internet, how we are able to, you know, do business from our phones, right, compared to having to carry a laptop everywhere. So – that was one thing that we saw. The cloud computing from the past 10-15 years has been huge, right? You always hear about the cloud, and that's been a huge theme that has propped up a lot of stocks and got a lot of people excited. I remember 3D printing was a huge theme when I started my career in the markets and understanding, you know, what's going on. 3D printing was huge, and that was kind of a theme that lasted for a couple of years. A lot of stocks made a lot of money. You had NFTs happen. And then you have now AI, right? AI is kind of the big theme that everyone's excited about propping up stocks. So what I wanted to kind of hit on today is, you know, what do we maybe see outside of just AI, things popping up over the next 10 years that could get investors excited? What could get, you know, them to start, you know, picking up some stocks and increasing the valuation on these stocks that no one's really thinking about?
Yeah, you know, I think there's lots of things there. But, you know, just going through a quick, you know, recap of things I've seen, you know, I was an Apple fanboy, you know, kind of from the start. Mm-hmm. So I was always the one, you know, getting the new, you know, iPad or iPods, right? And I was like, why can't this be a phone? So I do remember, you know, vividly getting the first iPhone when that came out. That was a big deal. And then Tesla, you know, I think, you know, I don't own a Tesla or anything like that, but, and I know Elon's kind of been drugged through it here in the last year or so. But before all that, you know, that wasn't an exciting company, not only from the standpoint of, you know, just new technology, but kind of completely changing an industry,
yeah,
right? And he's done that. And we've seen a huge push towards the, you know, electric cars.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's going very well for a lot of the companies that are trying that, specifically Ford, you know, it seems to have struck out there pretty big. So, you know, I always like talking about, you know, products and services that I like. So, you know, I think one of the big themes, I guess is kind of tied to artificial intelligence, but one of my favorite consumer products is the Roomba.
Yeah. I just picked one up.
Oh, really?
Amazon Prime Day. Yeah. Well, I didn't. I get my girlfriend did, but.
So it's we got one of the first Roombas for like a wedding present.
Yeah.
So something, you know, we didn't even register for. I didn't think, but it completely changes your life, right? You don't have to worry about vacuuming your floors. You can set the timer, and now they have the, you know, multiple unit. It'll do the like the vacuuming and also like the mopping.
Yeah.
So it's a dual purpose. So I think, and we always joke around on the show about the robot dogs and things like that. But, you know, I think it is a very real possibility that more of that stuff is going to be part of our everyday life.
Yeah. It's like the movies Blade Runner and things like that and starting to really come true with robotics. And one of the things that is outside of technology that I kind of am excited about as an investment theme, and I actually have some, you know, buddies or connections that are starting to get kind of pretty heavy into this, is self-storage spaces. You're seeing more of those pop up, and you know, we have a lot of crap in today's world. Like, we are very materialistic. Like, just go around your house, how much stuff do you have to like go to take away to garage sale or take to, you know, Goodwill just to get rid of, right? So a lot of people don't like getting rid of stuff. Maybe they should go to Goodwill and get rid of stuff, or maybe they should have a garage sale, but they just never do. So what they, instead of having it in their house, a lot of people want to keep it, and they're gonna, you know, having self-storage. So, you know, we kind of have a storage issue, I think, here in the U.S. because we are so materialistic. We have so much crap.
Yep.
So I think that's a big investment theme that's outside of technology that, you know, is more physical in nature, that is kind of a real estate play as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's so, you know, I moved into a new house like 5 years ago. And once our, you know, you get so much crap with kids. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once, obviously, with all the clothes and stuff like that, all the toys, you know, all that. Yeah, we have just a ton of baby stuff still that we don't even need. So my wife actually has been trying to and been doing a good job of selling some of it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, some of it you can't sell, some of it you want to keep. So yeah, anyway, so I have a new house, right? It should have plenty of room for everything. Yeah. I have a storage unit already.
Yeah, exactly. See?
Yeah,
I didn't know that, D. So you just kind of, you know, somewhat proved my point a little
exactly.
bit. Exactly. Right. Another quick one I had is that you know, trailer parks. I think trailer parks are a good long-term investment with this unaffordable housing crisis that we kind of have.
Yep.
You know, there's kind of a stigma, you know, I think with you know, being in a trailer or not. But I think you see a lot of people flocking to these lower cost homes, you know, because at the end of the day, it costs them less money. Even if they don't have them, even if they have the money to buy a bigger house, they can use that money elsewhere, whether that's travel, whatever it be. So, you know, you're seeing these trailer parks generate a lot of income. And I'm talking to a lot of people right now that are developing trailer parks or buying trailer parks up. And I think that could be a nice investment theme that we see pop up over the next decade or two as well that really hasn't picked up as much steam.
Yep. Don't they have that TV show, like the tiny houses?
Yeah. I mean, also, like, you know, we have a coworker here that has a little place up on the lake, you know, a little park, you know, little mobile homes, right? I'm thinking about over the next decade or so picking up a little small tiny home, you know, in like a lake area that has a nice little view, like, you know, pay a couple $1,000s for the rental fee for the property, whatever it be. Like, I see more and more of that popping up because, you know, I think what we're learning somewhat in today's world is we don't need the 5,000, 6,000 square foot house. It's kind of like this minimalistic kind of style of living that a lot of younger people, at least, are starting to live by, 20s and 30s, maybe even 40s.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, I think that might be a good segue into our second topic.
Yeah.
Because the American dream is most definitely changing, you know, over time. And, you know, the kind of the post-war, you know, post-World War II, you know, baby boom generation, right? They're, you know, basically the whole, you know, American dream was to, you know, get married, you know, very young.
Yep.
Start having children very young, and buy a house and raise a family.
Yep.
That was really pretty much, you know, it always didn't go well, you know, if you watch like Mad Men and stuff like that. But and it's with all that has happened in our society, you know, I don't think as many people are really, you know, going down that path. And then even for me, so I'm, 43 now. You know, I'm kind of, you know, as in the timelines kind of prove this out too. I'm kind of like right on the border. Yeah, I still claim Generation X because, you know, I don't think I'm close to a millennial, but apparently the cutoff year is 1980. So that was the year that I was born.
So you can be like me, you can be a millennial or Gen X. Yeah. So you can be a millennial or Gen like X. Me, I'm millennial or Gen Z, you can be a millennial or Gen X.
Yeah. But I don't even know how that works. Like, how could I be a millennial? I was 20 years old when the, you know, the century turned over. But yeah, you know, what I know you had a conversation about this a couple days ago, so yeah, you know, what do you want to hit on there?
Well, you hit on one of the big points there is like the, you know, the old American dream, you know, has become somewhat unaffordable, obviously, with the housing market rates where they're at right now. And just, you know, I think 20% of homes right now are affordable to middle class America when you actually put numbers to it. But the question I always go back to is, you know, is this necessarily a bad thing sometimes? And what I mean by that is, you know, like you said, the old way was to get married young, to have kids, to buy a house, 30-year mortgage, live in that house for 30 years, and then maybe, you know, get another house, vacation home after you retire, once you're done working, right? Then your kids move on. They do the same thing, repeat it, right? So now, you know, back then, you look to the 60s, 70s, 80s, people had one car. They took one vacation a year.
Right.
You know, they maybe went out to eat once a week, maybe, if that, right? Going out to eat was a luxury. Now, today's world, basically, the middle class has become much, much stronger and wealthier, per se, because of capitalism innovation than it was 50, 60 years ago, just because of the power of capitalism, technology, replacing productivity, whatever it be. So middle class America, even though we say that we don't, you know, we have an unaffordability crisis, but the fact is we spend a lot of money on other things now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we take a lot of vacations. You know, people take 3-4 vacations a year. A lot of middle-class America has 2 or 3 cars. You know, they go out to eat maybe 3-4 times a week. Going out to eat isn't even a luxury. It doesn't seem like anymore for majority of middle-class America.
Yep.
So we like to use our money on different things. So the fact that the American dream, I think, has changed from maybe owning the house, buying the house, living in it for 30 years, I think that's changed to more of a freedom factor, a freedom to do what you want. in America. And I think that's truly the American dream now, is freedom to spend, to go places, to travel. Like, even this work from home trend, even though I don't agree with it for a lot of younger people in their 20s and 30s, I think it's really hindering their progress throughout this economic system. You know, if you're in your late 30s, 40s, 50s, and you're later on in your career, and you have the opportunity to work from home, you can hop place to place, and you can travel the world. Why would you even have a home, you know, that you have to go take care of? I had a tree fall. Listen, I bought my house 2.5 years ago. I had a tree from the storms. I had a tree fall on my fence last week. I had a little bit of water in the basement. Like, it's kind of frustrating. I'm like, I wish I didn't have to take care of this crap. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe you should use your money as investments outside of maybe just owning your home and other things. It can be real estate, but then you don't have to live in there. You can also, you know, outsource it to somebody else, whatever it be. So, like, I don't know. Like, I think the American dream's changed a little bit from you have to own a house to you're more mobile now and you don't have to own a house.
Yep. Yep. And I think the way society views things has also, you know, been adjusted. You know, back, you know, in my parents' generation, like, it gave – you know, you went to high school, you went to college, you graduate college, and then you get married.
Yeah.
Like, if you were, you know, 25, right, a couple years out of college and didn't have plans to get married, people were asking, you know, what's wrong with you, essentially. Yeah. You know, so the speed at which you have to do that has been slowed. You know, I think, you know, my generation has been slower to get married, slower to have children. And
that's, you know, scary, though, from an economic standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, that there's pros and cons. Like, I think this world is a lot more selfish now, which isn't a good thing.
Right.
Like, we are more selfish and we are going to take more time for ourselves and care about ourselves more than others. Sometimes, and that's not a good thing. And selfishness comes with not having kids.
Right.
You know, having kids is, I say, and I don't have kids, but, you know, when I do have kids, I think it's the most selfless thing you can do, because your life becomes about them and not about you anymore. Right. So, I think that's a productivity issue and an economic issue that we're going to have to deal with. You know, Elon Musk has been very outspoken about population collapse. Right? Yeah. If we aren't reproducing, we have less minds out there innovating. We have less workers, you know, out there to add to the capitalistic system, right? If that's being replaced by technology, that's one thing. But if technology doesn't keep up, or if you know, we don't have enough minds out there to fix things, to make things work efficiently, then that's a problem. Yep. So not reproducing is, you know, an economic system's somewhat of a Ponzi scheme. You need to have to replace that Ponzi with something else.
You need to have productive people in that economic system to produce.
Right.
That's what I don't think any, you know, I don't think a lot of people realize, you know, what goes into GDP, you know, and you need labor, right? If you don't have labor, that GDP starts to go down, your economy starts to shrink.
Yep.
There's long lasting effects for that. Like, there's long lasting effects for, you know, the debt that government racks up in that economic system. That is always a hindrance, always slows down economic growth and economic progress.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I think the American dream's changed for the better and for the worse, in a lot of ways. And I think it's important to talk about, because these are things we are going to have to deal with, you know, just because people are changing, behaviors are changing. I always go back to the saying that economics is a study of all it is it's not about money and finances. Obviously, that's attached to it, but economics is a study of people and behaviors, and they're changing. You know, people have changed because of technology, really.
Absolutely.
And the cost of things. I use this as a reference. You know, back in the 70s and 80s, no one flew. No one took, you know, they took a vacation, they usually drove somewhere just because flying was unaffordable.
Right.
Like, no one could afford a plane ticket back then because it wasn't accessible. Now, with, you know, technology and the cost of driving down prices, now people can fly for, what, $100 down to Florida? Like, it's cheap. Like, it's very affordable now.
Same thing, you know, pros and cons. You know, you talk about it. Part of the reason, you know, the prior generation couldn't afford to do as much stuff is because the stuff that they needed costed a whole lot more.
Yeah.
And we've witnessed it with, you know, I don't want to say the collapse of retail, but, you know, if you needed a bedroom set back in, you know, 1985, you couldn't hop on the internet and find the best price.
Right.
You went down to your one or two stores and you basically paid the price that was on the sticker, right? And those prices are probably, you know, five times higher than the stuff that you can get off of, you know, IKEA or...
Well, look at TVs. TVs, mm-hmm. you know, back in flat screens first came out, they were $6,000. Mm-hmm. You know, and that was when people made half the money they make now, right? Mm-hmm. Now you can buy a nice flat screen TV for $800 and people are making double the money they were making.
Right.
So essentially, to sum up, I guess, our conversation about the American dream, as prices for almost everything else has fallen outside of probably cars... Mm-hmm. And houses. Outside of those two things, majority of prices have fallen relative to income.
Right.
So the American dream, just because of those two things, have changed.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, let's get in a quick planning topic here. Actually, it's you know, just a new tax rule I saw before we get into the canceled. So it looks like if you are contributing to your 401k plan at work, we're now in a transition period, between now and basically the end of 2025. So in 2026, this rule is going to go into effect. But essentially, if you're making over $145,000 from a single employer, and you're no longer allowed to make the catch-up contribution into the 401k plan. Yeah, if you're still allowed to do it, but it has to go into after-tax Roth account, essentially. So basically, they're taking away the tax deduction to be able to put that extra money into, you know, the 401k plan. It goes into the Roth, so that's still a good thing to do if you can do it. You don't get the tax break up front. You actually, you know, get it down the road when you're pulling money out. So. You know, I saw that, so, you know, I thought it was, you know, worth mentioning for sure. You know, if you're, you know, still working and, you're in that range, it's something, you know, to keep an eye out for.
Yeah. I mean, any way you can pump money into a tax efficient vehicle, I mean, that's the way to do it, right? So, you know, when the government's taking so much away from you and they're giving you a way for you to either reduce your taxes or giving you a way to delay your taxes, take advantage of it, right?
Yeah,
so
for sure. And, you know, I actually, one quick thing on the tax. I was meeting with a client yesterday. You know, the expiration of the Trump tax cuts is really just around the corner.
Yep.
So that is 2024, I believe it ends. So 2025 is when it starts. So essentially, if nothing happens, no new laws are passed or anything like that, we're going to be reverting back to the Obama tax system, essentially. And the same thing happened, I think it was 2012, with the fiscal cliff,
yep.
With the expiration of the Bush tax cuts. So, you know, that's something to keep an eye out for. You know, if nothing happens, you know, if the Democrats are in charge after this election, you know, you're almost guaranteed to have much higher tax rates than we have right now.
Well, frankly, you know, anyway... with all the damage we've done to the economy, I think the only way we have to think is that sadly taxes are going to rise some way, somehow.
Yeah.
Whether it's directly through your paycheck, you know, or income tax, or whether it's through some other tax that they come up with that comes out, you know, through payroll, Social Security, whatever, I don't know, whatever it be. I mean, that's a whole other issue that we'll have to talk about Social Security down the road, because that's a failing system too, which I know we've talked about before, and we can kind of probably hit on that as a topic later on.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, I mean, inflation's a tax, taxes a tax. You know, anytime your money is not being given to you in a way is a tax.
Yep.
And that's the way you kind of have to think about it.
Yep, for sure. All right. Well, let's wrap things up here with the canceled segment. So, you know, it was a Category 3 hurricane that came onshore last night into this morning. So down in Florida. Hurricane Idalia. Am I saying that right?
I think that's right.
All right.
It's impressive.
So, but yeah, you know, it's obviously a terrible situation. I don't think it was as catastrophic as kind of the same one last year that hit Fort Myers Beach. But, you know, lots of flooding, lots of people without power. So, yeah, you know, we thought we'd mention kind of the economic impact of hurricanes. which is, you know, immense, right?
Yeah, I mean, it slows down areas for years upon years. Mm-hmm. I mean, people don't necessarily talk about the fact that businesses get shut down, real estate gets wiped out, yep. flooding. You know, there's billions and billions of dollars worth of insurance claims that happen that has yep. to be paid out, right? That money has to come from somewhere, right? So there's obviously a lot of – and then people have to, you know, maybe relocate for a long period of time, right? Which mm-hmm. means that, you know, if people leave Florida, go somewhere else for, you know, a couple years, maybe live with a family, whatever it be, or I mean, there's definitely a flow of money that can be traced and that can be found to move to different areas. I mean, there's, you know, sadly, look at Hawaii. I mean, look at the economic turmoil that's put on. I mean, you saw Hawaii Electric stock went from $40 to $12 as they got blamed for it, whether or yep. not they did it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you have two big things happening all at once, right? There's the fires in Hawaii, and then there's this huge hurricane hitting a week and a half later. Down in Florida, which, you know, obviously is bad for human life and nature, human nature, but it's also bad for someone's pocketbooks and good for someone's pocketbooks.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, we just talked about, you know, production, right? So when something like that hits, the production goes down to zero, right?
Yeah.
And it goes into rebuilding, essentially. So, you know, all those small, you know, small.
But then at the same time, one of the contributing factors to GDP, you're already hearing about, Biden talk about, I think, $13 billion being sent down to Florida for economic, you know, impact mm-hmm. and rebuilding, right? So, you know, a lot of this stuff, like, it happens, and there's some destruction in the economy, productivity, but then you have the government come in here and then use our tax dollars to come rebuild it, which, you know, can be said to be either a good thing or bad. You know, it's good, right? Mm-hmm. It's good that they're using the money for people here.
Right.
I would say it's good that we're be using on, you know, what's needed here in America rather than, you know, outsource into somewhere else that doesn't, you know, really help anyone in America, yep. right? So, but that being said, that's a way to increase productivity. That it's a way to increase their GDP. You saw GDP actually come in light today.
Yep.
That's one thing we didn't talk about. Came in a little light from 2.4% that was expected to 2.1% this past quarter.
Mm-hmm.
So government spending is a contributing factor to that. So it can help, yep. you know, add jobs, help, you know, add money to the system. You know, what's interesting is, you know, I found this chart, you know, talking about, I think, Hurricane Michael back in the day. Timber loss was $1.3 billion. So trees obviously being uprooted. Cotton, $50 million. Cattle, you know, people don't talk about the cattle that's lost. That's $40 million. Peanuts. No one thinks about peanuts. $20 million losses in peanuts. Poultry, which is chicken, you know, $10 million. Vegetables, $9 million. Aquaculture, which is like, you know, making sure irrigation systems working fine, $5 million. Beekeepers, you know, bees, $2 million economic loss, right? So, I mean, these are things that are very specific that no one talks about.
Yep, for sure. Well, you know, thoughts and prayers down to everyone that was affected down there. Certainly not a good situation, but, you know, you always see lots of good stories, you know, come out of these things as well. You know, people helping people and all that good stuff. So,
I mean, Hurricane Katrina, which was one of the biggest in 2005, I mean, that was $170 billion worth of damage.
Yeah.
$170 billion. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
This one, like you said, I think is projected to be like $10 billion, right? Mm-hmm. It's a lot smaller scale, but still, human lives, people.
Yep. For sure. All right. Well, thanks everyone for joining us this week. As always, like I mentioned before, be a friend, tell a friend. If you enjoy listening to us, we always appreciate that, and any reviews that you can leave us as well. We got to probably get the swag going as well. I think that's something we need to talk about when Tony gets back. But once again, thanks for listening. If you have any comments or show ideas, hit us up at info@swpconnect.com, and we'll talk to you soon.
The opinions expressed in the podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any investment, legal, financial, or tax strategy. It is only intended to provide education about the financial industry. Please consult a qualified professional about your individual needs.